I thank God for the privilege to come before his people one more time. Thank God also for working miracles in my family. You remember sometime last year, I think it was February, that I told you, or it was reported to the church that my mom, she was hit by a car and run over. Didn't crush her upper body, crushed her legs. And sometimes when people would visit, she tells me of one sister who was saying to her she would never walk again. We got to be careful when we visit people. She held on to hope, got good doctors, and the Lord worked in such a mighty way that she is now even walking without a stick. Does not need any more physiotherapists. Those expenses are gone. She can walk by God's strength. She can go about doing some of the things that she did before. Amen. Thank God for working on Mama. Thank God for my family, Tisha and the girls. Sometimes they have to be so patient with me. I like to keep focus, and with my memory challenges, sometimes I don't want the noise. Jada and Jalen like they want to shake down the house. The basement can't help because they're jumping and the noise is there. But God helps me to just keep some focus that I can understand his word, that he can give me hope as we go along. You know, he's helping them to grow. And I just pray that you as a church family will continue to help. We will be able to navigate this society. Society that wants to drown out the voice of Jesus. And so that we would listen to other voices. Please continue to pray. Thank Pastor Myrie for giving me the chance to use the sacred desk again. And for you to be patient with me. When I make mistakes or when I go off tangent or even if I don't remember where I was, I have printed it. So my backup plan is there. I want to thank Elder Philpott. He gave an introduction that I'm not worthy of. I'm not worthy, but God can help me to stand in this place. Janice helped to put this together. She does such a good job. I try to put the words there, but she does everything else. The pictures and the multimedia effects so that you can pay attention, because our attention is so distracted. Many things vying for our attention. I pray that we will listen to the still small voice of the Lord today. Rena, she doesn't know what a great story she did. That we can learn from the life of Jesus. The children, I think, they got the point. And we must get the point as well. It's a point that I believe God wants us to understand. That he knows our needs. He wants us to participate, to share, so that he can bring glory to his name. So that he can change us into what we should be. We know that the platform participants also shared in the worship. And I want you to turn your minds right now. I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to imagine, please, sometime that you face the greatest stress that you ever experience. I want you to, just for a while, I want you to also imagine that Jesus, now that you look back, you see Jesus was there to help you through the storm. I want you to still with your eyes closed, just look at Jesus. It doesn't matter if you think he's white or black. That's not the point. Just look at Jesus and look away from the storm. I want to do this as well. For far too often we focus on the problems and not on the problem solver. Far too often I focus on the storm rather than the Savior. And it's a big problem. We got to learn. I remember I went out with the youth and young adults. I don't remember the name of the young lady who gave that little sermon. But I see her mom here, and I don't remember her name, though. And she pointed out something in that story with the man at the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus came to him. He's been there waiting 40 years. Jesus came to him and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And she said at that meeting, the man was focused on, "I don't have anyone to bring me down when the water is troubled." Jesus was ready to give him the answer to his prayers, the solution to his problems, and he was focused just on the problems. What he cannot do, what he needs some more, but didn't understand that help was right there. And I sometimes face that as well. I don't know if that happens to you, but there is a greater context to this problem. You see, in this world, we have tragedies. I remember last week someone posted something about Kobe Bryant, and I said, what is this? Not just because he is famous, late Kobe Bryant, and we sometimes have these prejudices and biases. Jesus left the 99 sheep and went after the one. He is no respecter of persons. The others in the helicopter were just as important. All lost. Life is so fragile. And I remember some others posting, and I told Tisha with the tears, I can't deal with this. Life is so fragile. Disasters, terrorism, corruption, violence, all in our world. Racism, sexism, all kinds of isms. So much is wrong with the world. There's a singing group, Black Eyed Peas, they sing a song, Where's the Love? In this song, in the video I saw, they highlight some of these problems. But they're looking for the answers in themselves. They believe that the power is in us. So they were pasting these question marks all over so that the people would ask the question, where's the love? The problem with that question is, where's the love? There's another important question behind it. And I will use an illustration to help you understand. When we think of temperature, anybody knows what are negative temperatures? Somebody can help me. How do we know negative temperatures in Canada? What does negative temperatures mean? What does it mean? Cold. When you look at the thermometer, what does negative temperatures mean? How do you know? How do you find it? Below zero. Below zero. Suppose there was no zero, would you be able to tell me what are negative temperatures? No. Students who do math, you know the number line. If there is zero in the middle, then the numbers to the right are positive. The numbers to the left are negative. On the thermometer, if it's vertical, those below zero are negative. If there is no zero, then there is no negative number. If there's no zero, then there's no positive temperatures either. The problem with the question, where's the love, is a problem of the reference point. The reference point is the law. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, talks in a very sophisticated way about this. But I want to show you simply from the life of Jesus how the law can help us fix the problem with the world. The problem with the world is me. The problem with the world is you. Where's the love? We've got to identify and answer the question, where's the law? Please close your eyes as we pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that there are so many things wrong with the world. So many things we can't control. Natural disasters. No matter how intelligent we are, or powerful, well-armed, no amount of red buttons can stop waters from covering entire islands. But you are all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving. You're ready and waiting to help us fix the problem. The problem in my heart. The problem in the hearts of everyone here. Please, Lord, don't let this just be another sermon. But may we be changed in our hearts. Write your law in our hearts, Lord. That we will know how to treat each other. Continue to grow in your love. Recognize that you know our needs, and that we will come to you. In the blessed name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So the law helps us to know what's right from what's wrong. If there is no law, then we can't tell what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes people in the world want to disregard this. But you look in the world, the law is very important. The law helps us in all aspects of our lives, not just to know our rights and responsibilities, but helps us to know how to interact with each other. In fact, the people who would throw the law through the window understand that even business contracts have no meaning unless there's a law. How will you hold me to what I have said if there is no absolute, if there's no reference, if it doesn't mean anything? But what they really want to do is to say that they don't want to obey the law. That's the problem with me. That's the problem with the world. We don't often talk about the law, and I don't really want to talk about the law today either, except to show us in the life of Jesus, remind us how Jesus showed us the law in action. Where's the love? Where's the love? Children of God, love each other. Please turn your Bibles. 1 John chapter 3. I was reading the book of John because I did a word search in the Bible, and I searched for the word love. And it turns out that in the book of John, we have the greatest number of occurrences of the word love. So those of you who like to use your concordance, we still should study our Bibles. Even if you have it on your phone, I have the E.G. White writings on my phone. I have several Bibles on my phone, and I can search. So I did the search, and John is where most of those were planted, the word love. And then I go into 1 John chapter 3, and I read just from verse 10 to verse 15. Please read it with me. In this is the New King James Version. In this, the children of God, who? The children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. How do we know the children of God? Let's read in. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. I want you to let that soak. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should do what? Love each other. You see, it's good to learn about the Bible. And we should learn all that we can. It's our responsibility. But when it comes to righteousness, it's not merely what I know about God. It's how much I am connected to God. Somebody ought to say amen. No matter how much I know and I don't do righteousness and love my brother, I am not his son. I could preach all I want. I could explain what I know from scriptures all I want. If I don't love my brothers and my sisters, I am not his. For this is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain. You remember from Genesis? Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. I thank Tisha for encouraging me to go get my reading glasses. So the age is showing, but I need glasses in order to see it. Do not marvel, my brethren, please look at it. If the world hates you, the world doesn't want to talk about keeping the law. The world doesn't understand what will really fix the problem. But they will hate us for that. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Jesus is the answer. Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. whoever hates his brother. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. How do we love each other? Let's look at the life of Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 45 to 51. I want you to turn there with me or to scroll there on your phone. John chapter 1, verse 45 to 51. John chapter 1, verse 45 to verse 51. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are Jesus, the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus is the prophesied Messiah, the Son of God. In fact, you remember 1 John 4, verse 8, it says that God is love. Jesus and God are one. That's found in John chapter 10, verse 30. So Jesus had a right to say, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus is the embodiment of love. Where's the love? Is the answer to fix the problem in our world. But we've got to look at Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is love. He's the one who can fix our hearts so that we will know how to treat each other. We will know how to love each other. And we will show his glory so that others will want to know him. If you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father. How did Jesus show love? And I'm going to quickly go through some of these. I want you to take your time. When you read the book of John, take your time. And as you read about Jesus, there are two things that will strike you very, very prominently. Here are the two things. When you listen to Jesus' conversations, he always cause people to think. Have you noticed that? You're going to hear it today again a little. And then when you look at his actions, you'll see that Jesus' actions are different from ours at times. Every time you look at Jesus, Jesus is giving something. How does Jesus show love? He gives. In John chapter 1, he gave the discipleship call to humble men. In John chapter 2, he gave unfermented grape juice to those people who were invited to the wedding. In John chapter 3, he gave Nicodemus the understanding of what it means to be born again. In John chapter 4, he gave living water to the Samaritan woman at the well. In John chapter 5, he gave healing to the man at the pool of Bethesda. In John chapter 6, he gave food to the 5,000. Somebody ought to say amen. How does Jesus show love? He shows it by giving. He shows it by understanding the needs of the people, and then he shows up and provides those needs. In John chapter 8, he gave forgiveness to the woman caught in adultery. In John chapter 11, he gave life again to Lazarus. In John chapter 13, he gave the disciples the humbling experience of foot washing so that they can follow in his footsteps. In John chapter 14, he gave comfort to the disciples. "Let not your heart be troubled. He believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I would not lie to you, because you would have no hope if Jesus is a liar. How does Jesus show love? He gives. And so the question comes to us. What have you been giving? What have you planned to give? What do you give? Sometimes we give, and we could improve upon that. I notice sometimes when we have the potluck lunch or we serve lunch to the people, we recognize the need, but sometimes it stays at our table. Sometimes when we go out and we buy groceries, the same thing. When we stop at the stoplight, we wonder, why on earth would someone be out there in the cold begging when they could get it from the government? Somebody else should supply the need. But when you look at Jesus, Jesus did the opposite. Jesus recognized the needs of the people. Jesus made the sacrifice to go and meet their needs. In John chapter 15, he gave the formula for fruit bearing, that we should be connected to him, the true vine. In John chapter 16, he gave the understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit, how we should understand the role that the Holy Spirit will play in our lives. Jesus showed his love by giving. When we look at Calvary's cross, he gave himself, that I should not die, but have eternal life. And sometimes we feel that we have no hope. When we look at the things that happen in our lives, when we see the tragedies, especially when they come close to home, we wonder what the future will be. But not if we take our eyes off the storm and see the Savior. Not if we see his loving works, his mighty miracles of love. Not when we read the book of John and we see every single time that there is something written about Jesus, he is giving something. And he knows exactly what was needed. Have you noticed that? There's some people who are blessed with that. I will walk in a room and I don't notice what anyone needs. But there are members here, they notice what is needed. God has given them that. Thank God for them. I will not covet them except to ask, Lord, please open my eyes that not only will I have sight, but give me vision, Lord. Spiritual eyes of. That I will see my own need and run to him. That I will see the needs of others. And that I will try to meet those needs. I didn't plan to give a long sermon, so I will do the other part next time. But I must close by showing again in the life of Jesus, even after his resurrection, every time Jesus appeared, three times he appeared to his disciples, every time Jesus gave. And he gave what was needed. After the resurrection, Ellen White in early writings said, these leaders who put Jesus to death, they were now even more scared. Tried to silence the disciples when Jesus was here. Tried to sideline the work of Jesus. All that Jesus said had now come true. The word of his resurrection now made them even more fearful, she writes. Because what they were saying, he's not the Messiah. He is not even supposed to be listened to. He's not true. No, after his resurrection, they face a big problem. What are you going to do with the resurrected Jesus? No longer could they purport that he's not the Messiah, because he would explain how he fulfilled all the prophecies. But they still went ahead, trying to tell a lie. Must be the disciples that are doing this. They would try to kill every one of the disciples, and in the end, you know that they did. But I want us to look in closing again at the life of Jesus after the resurrection, John chapter 20 and chapter 21. John chapter 20. You see, when you focus on the law helps us to know what's right from what's wrong. But the law cannot help us to do what's right from what's wrong. The Apostle Paul said there are some things that the law cannot do. The law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. It can show us what's right. It can show us the character of God. But it cannot help us to do what's right. You've heard me say this before. You look at the speed limit. You're in a community and the speed limit says 50. They will have flashing lights. They can have all kinds of things. It will not help me to keep my feet off the gas pedal, Pastor Pong. It will not help. Only Jesus can help. When we look at his life, we will see how to show love. What's wrong with the world? Has the world gone mad? What's wrong with the world is me and my selfish heart. What's wrong with the world is our selfish hearts. Look at every problem with all the countries and their world leaders, those that want to leave the European Union, our selfish hearts. John chapter 20, when Jesus appeared. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day, please read it with me. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut. So these disciples were very scared. They were very scared. Sometimes I try to picture in my mind, and I want you to do the same, a time when you were very scared. And there are many of them for me. I remember when I was in high school, I took a bus from downtown Kingston, those who remember Jamaica. And I was going to my aunt, one of my aunts in Portmore. And there in the bus, I was near to the back. There's this man, well-dressed. You see, we look at the outward, but God looks at the heart. So this man was well-dressed. And all of a sudden, I just saw when he pulled a gun out of his waist in that bus. And it looked like a Glock. I don't know these things very well, so bear with me. And when he took out the gun, everybody just moved aside. There was another man sitting, and I was standing right there between them as a schooler in my khaki suit. Went to Camperdown High School. And he pulled his waist aside. And there was a Magnum. And he looked. And he looked at the other man. And he looked at me. And he looked around. And he didn't bother to pull his. The one with the Glock passed me. I went to the back of the bus. If you want to know how mobile people are, they all moved. All these market people at the back, it didn't matter where their stuff was going to go. They all moved and it was empty for him. He sat down. The other man got up and walked out. I was scared to death. Because if they ever decided to shoot, I don't know who would die, but I was scared. These disciples were fearful for their lives because these leaders and the Jews, the scribes and Pharisees wanted them dead. So the doors were shut. If there were any windows, they were shut. Verse 19, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for what? Fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst. So what was their need? What was their need? Yes, it's Jesus, but what did they need at that time? They needed comfort. They were fearful for their lives. They needed assurance and comfort. Fearful, distraught, frustrated. Jesus saw their needs. Look at what Jesus did. Look at what Jesus did. I want you, when you read it, you got to dig deep. Look at what Jesus did. Sometimes when we show up, you have to ask, what's the purpose? Why did Brother Mason come here? He just wanted to watch us clean the church while we have to work hard. Why did Brother Mason come? But Jesus is different. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus came, read it, and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And I say amen. Peace, that's what they needed. So he showed up. I am the resurrected Christ. Mary was not telling you a lie. Mary was telling the truth. You came and you saw the empty grave. Now I'm here. I'm the resurrected Jesus. Peace be unto you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands, showed them his side. Then the disciples were glad. Before they were sad and afraid and needed comfort. When we look at people, we don't see anything. Some of us. But some people can see deeper. This is part of our problem. I can know the Bible all I want, but I need something more. I need to be able to see people's needs. And I need to be able to do something about it. This is Jesus' strategy. So it's not good enough to just know about Jesus. It's more important that we show love just like Jesus did every time he would give. And now they were glad. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father had sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He gave them the Holy Spirit. When Jesus shows love, he gives. When we show love, we should also give. Verse 24, now Thomas, this was very important. Now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, he was not with them when Jesus came. Look at this now. The other disciples, verse 25 of John chapter 20, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Can you imagine? We have two daughters, and one of them, I can imagine that this is how they would sound. They're different. One of them would sound like this, Jada. Jada would say it like this. And so we have contention sometime. Little Jada. He will not believe. Faithless. Stubborn. He said, I will not believe until I put my finger in the nail print and I put my hand in his side. But Jesus still recognized his need. Look at what Jesus did. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, what did they need? Peace. You got to understand how troubling it must have been, not just to know your life is in danger, but to know that the very one whom you had hoped in would be the Messiah, is the Messiah, the one who you thought would live and free you from Roman captivity, died, but now is risen. It's like a roller coaster. So not only were they fearful, they were going on these roller coasters all the time. All through the years, Jesus was teaching them in his death and now in his resurrection. And Jesus appeared again. Look at what he said, verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. He wasn't even there listening to Thomas. He wasn't there. Jesus came back in the midst and he told him exactly, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. Jesus shows his love by recognizing our needs and giving us our needs according to his riches. That was the second time he appeared to the disciples. The third time he appeared, they had followed Peter into the boat, gone fishing. You remember when Jesus called them? What were they doing when Jesus called them? Fishing. He called them and said, I will make you fishers of men. But in their time of despair, in their time of frustration and fear, now they're gone back to fishing. What was their need? Peace. What was their need? They needed comfort. What was their need? They needed stronger faith. What was their need? They needed assurance. So look at what Jesus did. When you read it, you got to pull the curtains back. Pull the curtains back. Let Jesus give us that spiritual eye salve. Chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael. You know the story and how they were there. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, again, look at what Jesus does. And when the morning had now come, the night of frustration had led to the morning of further frustration. And Jesus, look at what Jesus did. But when the morning had come, sometimes you have your night of sorrow. But in the morning, Jesus will show up. Jesus showed up. Jesus came. And in verse 4, it says, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Jesus called out, imagine, he's on the shore. There are no microphones. Listen to me. Just the calm of the still water. They are on the boat out there. And Jesus said, you have any fish? Some of you want to hear, do you have any chicken? I remember when I was young in primary school, you know, there was a teacher who would make these lunches. And whenever I could get some money together, I was just, there's something about the gravy of that chicken on the cardboard box. You know these cardboard box that they would put the lunch in? And the smell would be in my mind, I'm not learning anything because all I want is some chicken. And I would sing the song all the way to that teacher's house where she would have that little store and she would give us a chicken. And I would sing, chicken, 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 I can't wait, wait. Can't wait to eat some of the chicken. Love chicken. I gave up chicken in 1997. But before that, I loved chicken. So based on my needs, my mouth would water. And I would just desire that chicken. Just smells so good. But Jesus came. And he said, do you have any food? They answered him. Remember, Jesus already knows this. He knew exactly what's happening. But he still asked them the question. This was their expertise. You know when a plumber has been, you're past the 10,000 hours already. You know, they say 5 years, you become an expert. Past the 10,000 hours. Long time. This was their expertise. Failed. Couldn't get no fish. They felt that they were strong. I can't fail in this. Been an accountant for years. Medicine for years. I got this. But Jesus said, no, no, no. You have nothing until you realize that we are nothing. So he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So look at what they did. So they cast the net. Imagine you're so tired and frustrated after trying over and over again all through the night. The cold water, the water splashing, the hunger, the pain from trying to back and forth with the fishing net. You know, when I feel a little pain, almost like I want to ask a band-aid. But these men all night. But Jesus said, do it on the right side. And they did. No, they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." How did they recognize that it was Jesus? How did they recognize? Because whenever Jesus shows up, he gives. Jesus gave them fish. He recognized their needs. They needed fish. And Jesus supplied it. So what's the lesson as I close? In the last days, we will also be fearful like the disciples. There will come a time when, because of the papacy, because of the oppression that we'll face as Christians, we will want to close these doors, pull down the blinds. We will want to lock ourselves in our homes to avoid persecution. We will want to run away to the hills. It might be good. But when we are fearful, we got to remember Jesus. When we are faithless, like Thomas, doubting Thomas, we also need Jesus. When we are frustrated, like the disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, we also must remember Jesus knows our needs. And when he shows up on time, he will supply our needs. Where is the love? Where is the love? Jesus needs to fix my heart. Where's the love when someone not at my table needs some lunch? Where's the love when we have some extra money? Someone is in a financial emergency. Where's the love when someone who is sad or distressed just needs someone confidential to talk to? Where's the love when a senior's driveway is not troubled? Where's the love when our tribe member is missing for weeks and no one calls them? Where's the love when our church brethren commits open sin and we forget that we need Jesus just like them? Where's the love when someone comes through these doors as a visitor and we forget to extend the warm hand of welcome and embrace? What's wrong with the world is me and my selfish heart. What's wrong with the world is you and your selfish heart as well. But the answer is the law. The law shows us what's right from what's wrong. But it cannot help us to do anything right. Only Jesus can help us. And he shows us in his law. He shows us in his life. So we can remember the Ten Commandments, and that's good. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Second one, thou shalt have no graven image. Third one, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Fourth one, remember the Sabbath day. Fifth one, honor your mother and father. Sixth one, thou shalt not commit murder. Seventh one, thou shalt not commit adultery. Eighth one, thou shalt not steal. Ninth one, thou shalt not tell lies. Tenth one, thou shalt not covet. But no matter how much we know them and teach them to our children, and we should teach them at the table, teach them when we're going in and when we're going out, teach them. But remember, it cannot help us to do what's right. We need to be motivated and do like Jesus. He showed up. He knew the needs. So sometimes we got to do our research if we don't have the spirit of discernment. But when he showed up, he already knew the needs. And he supplied the needs. That's what it means to love. If it is your desire to do as Jesus did, to love, to recognize people's needs by his Holy Spirit, and to help supply those needs, to plan, to sacrifice, because it's not easy. Who has the time? But we have got to share our time. If that is your desire, won't you stand? Won't you stand? My final appeal is to those, simply to those who have not accepted Jesus as yet. You have heard the word from the Lord today. Maybe you're feeling tired. Maybe there's a voice saying to you, you don't need to listen to this part. But you recognize that what's wrong with the world is your selfish heart. You realize that God can help you with it, to transform your heart. That even beyond just knowing His law, to know what's right, like seeing the 50 kilometers per hour sign, you know that He can help you to keep and to do what's right, to do just as Jesus did. If it is your desire, won't you come? If there's anyone here who has not yet accepted Jesus, we won't be long because the time is well spent. Amen. Pastor Fong, won't you pray with us that we will recognize that the problem with the world is that we need to know Jesus better. When we see His example of love, He always gives. And by His grace, we will show love to each other when we recognize that first, we are His, and that He wants us to love each other by giving.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You love us. Because You love us, You gave Your only begotten Son. That if we believe in Him, we will be saved. Thank You so much for this example of just giving. You love us so much that You have even shown us the standard by which we should live. And You have offered us help to live by this standard. What a love. Amazing love. Father, today we come knowing that without You, we just can do nothing. You have also shared with us, taught us, encouraged us, that because You have loved us so much and given so much to us, we should also give to each other and love each other in spite of each other, in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of how much we even hurt each other. Given us help to love one another. Help us to seek this help all the time, that we will seek to love one another because You command us to do so. This afternoon, Father, we come just as we are, asking for transformation, asking for a renewed heart, that, Lord, You will please touch each and every one of us, that we will not see each other as enemies, but as children of God, whom God has loved so much that He has given. So today, help us to give to each other because You first gave. Help us to love one another because You first loved us. So we thank You and so we praise You. There is somebody here who has not given their hearts to You. Please continue to disturb them until they come to the full realization that without Jesus, there is nothing else out there. There is no hope. We can only have hope in Jesus Christ, because God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. We thank You for Your message, and we thank You for Your messenger. In Jesus' name, amen.